Ephesians, the second chapter, and we're going to start in verse 10 this morning. This morning, we're going to talk about a subject. I talked about it earlier. We're going to talk about this subject called under construction. Now, before I get into our message, how many people have ever seen construction? Everybody should say they've seen construction. You drive on Missouri highways, you've seen construction. Sometimes it looks like it's going fast, and sometimes it looks like it's going really slow. But understand one thing, that when God is the one doing the construction, whether it's fast or slow, He's going to complete it. Amen? Yeah. Let's read our scripture this morning, and then we're going to not kick everything over. This morning our scripture is Ephesians 2:10, and I'm reading out of the NLT. And it says this. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." Let's pray. God, I thank You for this message. I pray, God, as I'm going through this message this morning, God, that You would pull me out of the way, You would insert You, and God, they would understand and we would see something different in these words today. God, we would get the point of the message this morning that we are still under construction. In Your name we pray. Everybody says, amen. This morning, we all have come to the understanding that construction and points and sometimes can be a little slow. Sometimes construction can be quick. Now, what are you saying? I'm saying this. It doesn't matter whether it's fast construction or slow construction. There's a start and there's a finish. And sometimes the start and the finish are completed by two totally different people. Sometimes we get to the part where we have to call Jeff and Jeff has to do the electrical. And we put it all together. Sometimes we get to the part where there's a little bit of taking stuff down. It was crazy when I was in high school. We built a house. We built it from the ground up. And there was times where we would put something up only to tear it back down again. You have to put the foundation up. And in order to put the foundation up, you have to build a wall and put this piece up there that's going to be able to allow the concrete to set. And then about 2 days later, what do? You go in and start pulling it all off of there. You got pieces that have to go in place just so that something permanent can stand. You see, here's the thing. There's sometimes that God will almost fall off the stage. There's certain times where God will say, "Let me put this up for a season. And then let me pull it off because something else has become more important that stays there." So this morning, when we read this Ephesians 2:10, it says we are called a masterpiece. I don't know if anybody's ever seen a potter when he goes in and he starts working on a thing. He starts to work on something. You look at it, it just looks like a giant piece of junk. Just something, he's just getting all dirty and gross and his hands are getting nasty. And he starts to form this bowl. And he's got this bowl formed just right, the way you think he's going to be about done with it. And all of a sudden, he comes in and he goes, "I don't like that." And he folds it all back, pushes it all back together, and starts all over. Because why? Why does he do that? Because he wants the masterpiece to be just right. What we thought looked good, the person who's making it, that's making the masterpiece, he knew it's not right. It's not going to hold just right. So he starts all over. You see, in this passage, we understand that we're a masterpiece. God has called each one of us to be something completely different. God has called you to be different than me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He's called us all to be different. Pastor Tommy tells me all the time, I don't want you to be like me. He said, if you were like me, I would have hired me. He said, I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be different. When I first got here, I was talking to him, and he looked at me, and he said, there's going to be people that put up with me because they like you. He goes, and there's going to be people that put up with you because they like me. This morning, I was walking past, and I found out that in almost a year of being here already, this is the first time Becky Minnick has heard me preach. She just puts up with me so she can hear Pastor preach. The first time she's heard me preach. So whose first time is it to hear me preach besides Becky and Jeff in here? Okay, there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them. You know what that tells me, Miss Ann? A bunch of people need to come Sunday night. Because that's when I preach is Sunday night. It's a rarity for me to get to preach a Sunday morning, but it's okay. I don't have to be just like Pastor Tommy. I don't have to be just like Howard. God didn't create me to be Howard. He created me to be me. I'm glad he didn't create me to be Howard. I wouldn't be able to see half the time. Guy wears sunglasses in the church. But you know what? God made us all different. He made us as a masterpiece. I got 3 points this morning, and the first one is this. We are made in His image. Do you understand that when we're made in His image, that doesn't mean we're made in the image of what the magazine tells us? You see, our teenagers nowadays are looking at, what does the person next to me say I should look like? The paper says I should look like this. That magazine says I should stand up just like this, and I should have my hair should be just right, and I should wear this amount of makeup, or I should wear this type of jewelry. You weren't made in their image, so stop trying to look like that. It's funny to me that every once in a while I get this on my phone. It's the news feeds. And every once in a while it'll say crazy things, and I'll click on a page and I'll read, you know, something. 95% of it's all Donald Trump stuff. But I'll read something and I'll go scrolling through and it'll say, magazine says skinny models are out and bigger models are in. And tomorrow, what are they going to say? The skinny models are back in again. They change their minds so many times that they have our teenagers confused of what they're supposed to look like. Our teenagers don't know if they're supposed to be tall or short, if they're supposed to be skinny or not skinny, if they're supposed to have long hair or short hair. They get so confused because our society now has told us, you have to look like what we want you to look like. Don't worry about what God says, because He created you. We'll just tell you what to look like. The last time the society created somebody, they destroyed them at the same time. Because they decide that we're going to make this person who they're going to be. And that's how these people, these rock stars, these superstars, these supermodels, whatever you want to call them, that's how they decide they start losing friends. It's because of them, instead of them being unique, because they were created by God, they start looking at what man can do to make them where they are. They start becoming selfish and arrogant and mean and not very pleasant to be around. They start saying, oh, well, I got to lose 50 pounds just so I can hang out with this crowd. I got to do this. I have to do that. God made you in His image. Stop trying to be like somebody else. That person's already taken. You be you and don't worry about being somebody else. Trust me, we don't need another person just like that. We need you to be unique like God made you to be. The scripture I have that goes with that is this one. Jeremiah 1:5. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. So hold on. He knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb. But the scripture that I read in Ephesians said, at the very end, it says that long ago. You're a masterpiece that he created long ago. And now Jeremiah is saying he knew you before he formed you. Long ago is a long time. But before you were formed in your mother's womb was pretty long time too. So God knew you a long time ago. When he created you, he knew what you were going to look like. I said this to the kids earlier. He knew that Silas was going to have glasses. He knew that Silas was going to be sitting here this morning, cold with his arms inside of his shirt. He knew what car you were going to drive. He knew the battle you were going to face today when you got up. Can I tell you that even when he knew it, he had already made the provision for it? You see, if he wouldn't have made provision for it, he wouldn't have made sure that Silas had glasses today. Because Silas probably can't see without his glasses on. My son is completely disoriented without his glasses. I could take him right now, and he could say he could walk around in this room. And I'll tell you, he probably could walk around in this room. He's been in here enough, he knows what it looks like. But if I opened up a room that he had never been into, and I took his glasses off, and I said, walk around without falling into stuff, he's going to do this. Try to find out where it's at. But when I put them glasses on, the first thing he's going to do is go, I walk around that maze, and I go over here, and I do this. God already made the provision for him before he was even born. He was unique. He was made specific for a reason. Sometimes we have to get that point to where we understand that God's still working on me. He's still in the middle of working on the things that are going on in my life. It says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Becky, before you were born, God knew you were going to China. He knew you were going to speak to kids in China. So he had already appointed you to do that before you even went. Why is it sometimes we look and we think, I don't know if I can do this. The money just costs too much. I don't know if I can do it. God already knew you were going to go. So why not trust him that he's going to take care of it? Why not say, you know what? God's already provided for me. This whole, I said it this morning with Janelle. God already had provision made. All he was waiting for was her to activate her faith to do it. Activate your faith in order to go. Becky's doing photography for her trip. He made provision for her to make what she needed to do to go, to do what he had already called her to do. Gave you a talent. Give you an ability. But sometimes we don't use what God has given us, and we just sit and we say, where's the provision? God gave you something to do. Use it. Yes. Says he knew you before you were born. Genesis 1:27. I'm going to flip there. It says, so God created human beings in his image. In the image of God, he created male and female. God created you a masterpiece in his image, made you the way you are, so that you could worship Him. The second point is this. Sometimes this is a hard one. He will complete the work. This morning, I want to show you a little bit of an illustration. And I have all of these tools up here. And I have a tool that a lot of people will look at. And you'll know what it is. This is a hammer. This is a framing hammer. This is a big hammer. The guy who swings this hammer is the guy that goes in and starts building the house. How many people have ever put up a wall or built a house before or seen people build up a house? You will know that when they start to build the house, they use a big hammer because they got to be able to swing that thing and they start putting stuff in place and they start hitting nails and they got these giant nails. They're humongous. And if you have somebody building a house for you, you could go and you could sit outside and watch them put this house up. And they're swinging that hammer and swinging, hitting them nails. When I was a kid, we did a lot of jobs, and we did two houses in my high school career. We built two houses. And with teenagers, juniors and seniors building a house, I could tell you if you pulled the wall off of that thing and looked at the studs, there's probably more nails in them boards than there should be. I mean, we would take a nail and just hit a nail just for the fun of it. And, you know, you got them ones, they bend them all up, and you're like, knock that one down and do a new one. It's okay. Why? Because it was going to be hidden anyway. You're going to hide that nail. You can hit that thing 1,000 times. But if you're really good, pop a nail, bang, it's in, you're done. And you get some of them guys that get to come over and they get to use real big nail guns. And they just go pop, 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 and they're finished. But when you're watching them, you're watching outside and you're sitting there and you're watching them put this house up. And every day you drive to your house and you sit outside and they're building and building and building. And your first thought is what? This is going to be done faster than I thought. There ain't no way it's going to take them a year to finish my house. Because it's almost done. I can see the outside. I can see where it looks great. It looks amazing. But then what happens? They slap a door on it, and you walk over to the house, and you're looking at it, and everything looks great, and then all of a sudden, looks like progress just comes to a screeching halt. Because now, instead of being able to see the outside and see progress on the outside, they're on the inside. And you can't see the inside. From the street, from the road, nobody can see what's going on. Nobody understands what's going on inside once they close that door. And then they decide they're going to do something else. And I want you to imagine, I got about the same size hammers, but I want you to imagine this. Imagine that this is a small hammer. They take small hammers and little bitty nails. Because they got to work on the finished job now. They got to work on everything on the inside. They take more care about what's on the inside. They do this thing where they look at you and say, it's going to be another 4 weeks. What do you mean another 4 weeks? It looks great on the outside. Can't I just get in the house? Just let me start moving my stuff in. I can't let you move your stuff in yet. It's not ready. We're not ready for you then, right now. Have you guys ever seen on HGTVs like the Fixer Upper, or my wife likes the Property Brothers, or see those shows, and you see them and they walk in and you think, man, this looks great, and they do all this stuff to this house, and then the next scene you see, they pull that little old picture of the house away and you see what it looks like on the outside. It looks beautiful on the outside. And you remember all the things that they had to do to get up to that point. The plumbing that they had to fix. There's one, that one beam just doesn't fit up there, so they have to lower it. All that extra work they had to do. When they start to work on the inside is when that work starts to slow down a little bit. The scripture says that God will complete the work. God's going to complete the work that he started in you. Hold on. For hear what I said. He's going to complete the work he started in you. See, what we have to get is this. Sometimes they can walk in. We can walk in and the outside appearance looks great. But the inside is going through some stuff. The inside's going through a remodel. And even though it looks like everything's good and we should be moving in this direction, God says, hang on a minute. Slow down. I'm still working on the inside. Don't start moving into that yet because I'm not ready for that yet. You know one of the fastest ways that we can get people to stop coming to church? Is put people in positions when they're not ready for it. If I was to get a person that came in and all of a sudden I said, here, take this class and go. If they're not ready, they're going to go right out the door. Or you're going to be really upset. As a pastor, as a leader, a ministry leader, you could all of a sudden be really upset. Man, I thought that was going to work out great. And I found out that even though the outside looked good, the inside was still trying to get worked on. Throw that scripture up. That one's good. Philippians 1:6. I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, on the inside of you, will complete his work until it's finally finished. Until it's finally finished. You see, God's not going to start a work in you and then just walk away and say, okay, I'm finished for now and I'll come back to it. Come on. You know who the one is that stops the work from happening inside of you? You. Right. You stop the work that God's doing in you. You could be completely set free from something. And then all of a sudden, it feels like it went to a screeching halt. And it's not continuing anymore. You know who stopped it? You did. You can't stop the completion of the work until God's all the way done with it. If you were to take that house right at the point it was, half of it blocked up with drywall, the other half looking like it's just a completely bare house, the toilet's not in, you can't even sit down to go to the bathroom because it's not put in right, and all of a sudden you just say, that's enough. What's going to happen? I guarantee you in a couple weeks, you will look and you will say, I am miserable. This house is not done the way I want it. Sometimes when we stop God from finishing the work that he was doing in us, we become miserable. And God says, because you stopped me from completing the work. You stopped me from completing the work I was going to do. That's why you're miserable. That's why you feel incomplete. Colossians says this, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. You have become complete with Christ when he finishes the work that he was doing in you. You see, sometimes we have to allow God to take the hammer and just hit us real good and pop us a couple times and get us moving a little bit. When he's building you, putting you together, he's hitting you good. He's taking off some things. He's building the outside. But when he gets on the inside, it may just sound like small little clanks. Because he's taking his time on the inside. Sometimes when God takes time, he's taking time because this part might hurt a little bit. Sometimes on the inside it may sound, got to get rid of that. That one's going to hurt, but we're going to get rid of it. But sometimes we wonder, God, are you even doing anything? He's still doing it. Because the word says he's faithful to complete what he started. The last point is this. We're always under construction. Let me show you this. The house is built. You're 2 weeks from move-in date. Painted up. Looks amazing. First thing they do is they look at you and say, Mr. Jeff, we want you to come to the house. We want you to look at it. Tell us if there's anything else you see that needs to be done. So they walk in. Jeff comes up. And they say, anything you see that's a problem, we want you to take this blue tape and we want you to mark it so we know what needs to be fixed. And so he walks over and he says, there's a spot on this rail that needs to be cleaned. So they mark it. Well, this little nook right here has got a nick, little notch on it that's messed up. It needs to be fixed. So they mark it. The floor's got a scuff in it. So they mark it. They mark all the places that there's problems. And then they ask you to leave. A couple days later, they call you and they say, Mr. Jeff, we need you to come back to the house. We want you to look at the stuff. We've already fixed those problems. Everything's done. The blue tape's gone. We've already removed it all. But we want you to come and look and make sure we haven't missed anything. And all of a sudden, you walk in and you go, there's a big spot on the wall right there. It doesn't look like it's painted all the way. Why did I miss that before? You missed it before because of this. You missed it because you weren't so concentrated on that because you saw other problems first. Other things took more precedent in your mind than that one piece. The floor looks great, but them cabinets, they got some dust on them. I don't want dusty cabinets when I get in. My wife ain't going to like it. So we start remarking stuff. And then all of a sudden, move-in date comes and you're great. You're ready to go. Everything's been fixed. But here's what I want you to see. Jeff, come here for me. We're always under construction. Jeff had a bad day, goes home, gets upset because dinner's not ready. He yells at Becky. All of a sudden, Becky looks at him and she goes, you better go figure that out. And what's he do? He walks over and he goes, God, I need to work on my attitude. So he marks himself. Somebody comes in and they take something from him and he doesn't like it. And it makes him mad. And he wants to say something, and his mind just starts playing little things. What can I do? What can I say? And he marks himself again. What we don't understand is even though Jeff looks great on the outside, he's working on himself on the inside. You see, God's always going to do something on the inside. Because when he's ready to go and he's finished, is the day that Jeff's completed his race. Yeah. We're always under construction. Yeah. Somebody cuts him off, and he gets a little road rage. Let's take that out. Okay, God, we got to work on that. And then God comes by and he looks and he goes, all right, Jeff, you ready to work on this? It's not going to be easy. Some of this is going to be a little bit difficult, Jeff. But are you sure you want to work on it? And Jeff says, yeah, we'll work on it. He takes that away. And then he comes over and he takes the road rage away. He takes yelling at Becky away. I don't see that working very well for you, by the way. And then all of a sudden, Jeff says, God, I'm having a great week. This is amazing. God, you've done so much in me. And the enemy comes in and he goes to attack. And all of a sudden, Jeff says, God, I just feel like there's something else that isn't right. Something else. I wasn't able to face the enemy the way I needed to. Because you're still under construction. I haven't fixed that part yet. The enemy comes in at your weakest place. Have you ever looked and seen somebody who goes in and they may do some plumbing and everything looks great on their plumbing, and then all of a sudden they turn the water on and what happens? A little drip. Just that little bitty drip. It don't take much. But that little drip can really affect everything. How's that water getting out? Come on. It found its weakest spot. Right. The enemy will attack you at your weakest point. It may be playing with your mind. It may be your attitude. I'll be honest. It may be the way somebody talks to you. And as soon as they say something, it just sets you off, man. It's like, nope, I'm done. It may be your past. A past mistake that you made, and you go, all of a sudden, there it is. We haven't completed it yet. God, you started a work in me last night. You started a work in me last week or a month ago, but it's not completed yet. Now all of a sudden, it's coming back. He who began a good work in you will complete it. It may take some beating on. It may take some hard hits. Sometimes it may take just that little finishing work. Little bitty spots. Go ahead, you can sit down. One last thing I'll tell you. You ever watch somebody put up trim work? Take these little bitty nails and this little bitty hammer, and they knock that nail in there. Hit it wrong, bends it. You got to start all over. But what do? They get it, and they take that little bitty punch. Pop it in there and drive it in. And when they drive it in, they take this stuff, putty, and fill that little hole in there. Why? They want the work to look as seamless as possible. If they left it wide open, it's not complete. When God's going to finish what he started, he'll drive the nail. He started by a driven nail. Come on now. When a nail was drove in Jesus' hands, he started something. And he will finish what he started by driving the nail, covering it up, which was Jesus' blood, making provision, painting over it, which is the washing of you being white as snow again, so that you can do what he's called you to do. This morning, I want you to get one thing. Simple as my illustrations have been this morning. We're not perfect. If we were perfect, we wouldn't be here.